and welcome to the Not Your Type podcast, aimed to uplift and empower everyone in the diabetic community, from supporters to professionals, and of course, those living with it. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Not Your Type podcast. I'm your host, Alyssa Gothy, and this is the second time that I am recording this episode. So bear with me if I sound a little tired. If you just had spring break, I hope it was a great one. If you're on spring break now, happy spring break. And if you're about to have it, I hope it goes really well. The reason I say that is because last week was the most common spring break that was shared here in Iowa. And if you recall last year's episode around this time, we chatted a little bit about travel. Definitely check out that episode if you have not already. Why? Not only for helpful tips to those traveling with diabetes, but also because I went overseas for the first time last year. In case you forgot, my family and I went to Canada to visit the Banting House and the Flame of Hope in London, Ontario. The Banting House is where insulin was discovered, and seeing that was so moving, especially to go with my parents, to see how far not only me and my dad especially have come with our diabetes, but how far diabetes has come in general over the past 100 years. We were moved to tears at some moments, and it really was just the most beautiful experience. This spring break, I traveled again. No, this is not a travel podcast, I promise. This has something to do with diabetes. So what did I do? I went to our nation's capital to advocate for diabetes in Washington, D.C. with the American Diabetes Association. Let's back up a bit. Each year, the ADA hosts Call to Congress, where advocates from all around the country are selected to convene in Washington, D.C. to speak with legislators on Capitol Hill about legislation regarding diabetes. And I was one of the ones selected. So trust me when I say that when I saw the email, I was literally freaking out. I spent 3 days in Washington getting trained on the talking points, meeting fellow advocates from regions all over the country, sightseeing, and of course, meeting with legislators. It was honestly such a dream come true. When I first became Miss Iowa, I had actually told my parents that I wanted to go to D.C. as a state title holder to advocate for diabetes, but we came to the conclusion that it just likely would not work out this year. Well, I must have spoken it into existence, or the universe heard me, because being given this opportunity has been everything I wanted and more. And guess what? Your girl's going back. So before crowning the next Miss Iowa, I'm actually heading back to DC with the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation for their government day in the beginning of June. And I cannot wait to go back. Now, the point of me telling y'all this is not to share a travel diary, but if you're listening to this and you saw the title, you are likely seeking to make your voice heard too. When I was first diagnosed, I didn't realize that my story could be powerful and that by sharing it, I could make a real difference. Once I started embracing my journey and using my voice for others, I saw how impactful it could really be. And that doesn't just have to apply to diabetes. We are all passionate about multiple causes and topics that we long to bring recognition to. So, how can you use your voice? This isn't one size fits all. Not everyone would feel comfortable speaking in front of large groups of people, and not everyone would feel comfortable engaging on social media. But all of the things I'm going to list today are different outlets or ideas that you can use to start or continue advocating for your cause. Now, without further ado, let's get into it. My first tip is to find a local or regional advocacy group. Finding a community is vital to thriving with diabetes. We have talked about that on this podcast before. But having a group that already champions advocacy and legislative efforts is a great gateway into learning more and getting involved yourself. It can be really intimidating to reach out to legislators on your own, so networking with these people who already have those contacts established and receiving mentorship is a great first step if you're still feeling hesitant to go on your own. Oftentimes, they'll even have their own events like diabetes walks, fundraisers, galas, community gatherings, or even hill days. For example, if it weren't for the American Diabetes Association, I wouldn't have been in DC. Now, that being said, advocacy doesn't always have to be contacting legislators. It's also spreading awareness and raising funds for the cause. And that's where those different events come into play and are great activities to participate in, not only to get acquainted with those groups and organizations, but to find that community that you can trust and confide in. My next tip, write out your story. If you are unsure where to start and how to effectively communicate your experiences, write it down. It doesn't have to be concise or neat. It could even be a bulleted list. We all have to start somewhere. Trust me, the amount of drafts that I have from writing out my story, especially for pageant paperwork, is more than I would like to admit. But identify the key points that you feel are important for others to know to better understand the realities of living with type 1 diabetes. Share your devices if you have them. Share the hardships. Share the diagnosis story, the way that it's impacted your family or if it runs in your family. Details are encouraged. Now, why is it important to share your story? Because people can always try to argue your opinion, but they can never argue your lived experience. Not only will you be sharing what you've lived through, but then you're able to reclaim it. Another great step is learning what legislative efforts are already in motion. Find out what bills are being drafted or passed through Congress or your state government. You can actually find this out at www.congress.gov and search for legislation being worked on, or you can ask the advocacy representatives from the organizations that you have reached out to. See why that's a great first step? After those initial tasks, if you feel ready, that's when you can reach out to your legislators. I've been to the Iowa State Capitol 5 to 6 times to meet with members of Congress, and trust me, I still get nervous and excited. But it is always a good experience and so worth it. If you're still uncomfortable talking with legislators, feel free to write to them. That's where writing out your story can really come in handy. If you want to meet one-on-one with your state legislators, you can actually find your local representative on your state's website, usually by putting in your county or your address, and you can have a meeting with them about the issues that you would like to bring forward. You can also ask to meet with your federal legislators. Now, they are very busy right now with everything going on in our country, in our world, so you might be asked to meet with one of their aides or assistants, but they will still take notes and give them to the representative because they love to hear from their constituents about the issues that they care about because they are representing you. Now, if you don't want to go it alone, that's totally understandable. You can participate in a Hill Day, so you can look into JDRF's Government Day, the ADA Call to Action. DPAC has their own Hill Day. JDRF also has Children's Congress if you're under 18. Those are all great collaborative group efforts, so you don't have to go in alone, because it can be really intimidating and scary. Also, not all Hill Days are in person. You can have a virtual Hill Day. I've participated in one, and it is still just as impactful and meaningful. Another route you can go is writing your own proclamation. I did this for Diabetes Awareness Month this past November so that the state of Iowa can officially recognize November as Diabetes Awareness Month, and it got passed. I let the imposter syndrome get to me for years before I ever wrote it, but after literally Googling templates and tips on how to write a proclamation, I was able to put it into action. And you can too. Another great outlet for advocacy is social media. You can follow diabetes groups or even diabetes influencers on different social media channels, whether it's Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter. A lot of them are actually really big right now. And maybe that will inspire you to create your own diabetes Instagram or TikTok or social media channel. This is an opportunity for you to really mobilize your followers, whether it's on a diabetes account or a personal account, to write to their legislators about supporting legislation for affordable insulin, treating obesity, accessible medication, coverage for CGMs and pumps, affordable healthcare. The list goes on. You don't even have to leave the comfort of your bed to do this, which is the best part. No matter how you choose to advocate, ultimately you deserve to have your voice valued and your story heard. There's no correct way to do this, and it's really whatever feels most authentic to you. I want to embolden all of you to take action, to reclaim your story, to really step out of your comfort zone. We are at a key point in our country where diabetes legislation is really on the forefront, and you have the power to make an impactful change. If you have any questions about advocacy, feel free to reach out to me or some of the groups that you work with, because they want you to feel empowered and confident going into those meetings or the efforts that you are producing. I hope you learned a little bit from this episode. It was short and sweet, but these are just some of my tips on how to make your voice heard and how to be an advocate for the T1D community. I do have more episodes in store. I know it's been a while, but I cannot wait to get them out to you. But for now, until next time.